This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast, number 142 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording is of the brief ceremony at the unveiling of the new display case for the Benjamin Franklin books. The case was ordered as part of the library renovation project, but was delayed in delivery, and the books were finally and safely installed this week. The ceremony was held on Sunday, April 8th. The ceremony itself runs about 12 minutes. Photos of the ceremony and of the books in the display case can be found on franklinmatters.org. So without further ado, here is the audio recording.
Come, everyone,
much better.
To this wonderful event. We did it, and we could not have done it without the assistance, involvement, and often the money from the Franklin Library Association, Scott Nolan, president. The FLA has funded this marvelous case, funded the Not Yet platform stand with the information and the history, the digitization of the town reports, town newspaper, the Register, town newspaper, the Sentinel, among many other historical volumes of Franklin history. The Friends of the Franklin Library, Joe Mullen, president. The Friends coordinated the sale of over 700 plus bricks in our new patio, sold all the benches for the patio and for the front walk, as well as purchased all the tables, chairs, and lamps in this room. The Library Board of Directors, Sandra Brand Fonbrenner and Monique Doyle, co-chairs. Thank you for the board's leadership throughout this project. Felicia Odey, the library director, and the staff, for your patience and persistence throughout the project. All of you are now the curators and stewards of this facility, and we all wish you success in moving forward with all of the wonderful resources available to our residents. All of these groups and members for their commitment to focusing on making our library a resource that we can be very proud of. This event is the culmination of a lot of hard work by so many people. This has been a team effort throughout the whole project, and all of these organizations, and so many of you here today, helped make this project a reality. Today is so special as we will be unveiling a brand new exhibit to display the books that Benjamin Franklin gifted to the town of Franklin in 1786. Out of the original 116 books, the 91 remaining books are now encased in a state-of-the-art protective environment, UV controlled, light controlled, and humidity controlled. All remaining books, minimum age 235 years, can now be viewed from all four sides of this case. There are many in Franklin who are unaware of this treasure, this heritage which has in so many ways impacted who we have become as a community. This treasure which has made Franklin, Franklin. Now our history is open and can be seen by all visitors to our wonderful library. I want to introduce Mary Olson as well as Nancy Rapper. Mary Olson is going to give a short history of the books Benjamin Franklin donated to the town. After Mary's little speech, I'm told it's little, so it's not long. After she speaks, Scott Nolan from the Friends of the Franklin Library and Joe Mullen from the Scott Nolan from the Franklin Library Association and Joe Mullen from the Friends of the Franklin Library will whip off the shroud of this on this case. And then after that, Nancy Rapper will give tours of the historic library, and food will be served for the last time ever, because they don't want any food or anything in this room out in the main hall. So Mary.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. Right before I left, I was texting with my oldest son in at Westfield State, and he reminded me that I needed to speak slow when I do my presentations. So I'm going to try, but my heart's going crazy. But I know all of you, almost all of you are my friends, so I shouldn't be nervous. Hi, Richard. So good afternoon. I would like to congratulate Judy Pfeffer and the Library Building Committee, Monique Doyle and the Library Board of Directors, Scott Nolan and the Franklin Library Association, Joe Mullen and the Friends of the Franklin Library, and Felicia and the entire staff of the library. Congratulations on all the time and the hard work which has brought us to this moment here today. It's a great day for the library and the town of Franklin to have the Franklin books back at the library and soon to be on display. Can't wait to see them. A few months ago, Judy contacted me and asked me for some input on the history of the books. I'm the chairperson of the Franklin Historical Commission. There's some assumption that I know something about history. If you talk to my history high school teacher, Nella Lucini, he'd say, what is she talking about? So I came up with a few things. Nancy Rappa had been giving tours and telling people on the story of the books for many years and asked if I had anything to add. So I did what is one of my favorite things to do. I started some research. This is a story of a toad and a tail. We're all familiar with the story of our town upon its incorporation in 1778, having the original name of Exeter changed to Franklin to honor the statesman Dr. Benjamin Franklin. Nancy's a school teacher, she gave me props. Franklin had just signed the Treaty of Alliance with France to fight against those pesky redcoats in our battle of independence from England. The townspeople of the newly named Franklin, Massachusetts, wrote to Dr. Franklin informing him of the honor bestowed upon him by this new, young New England town. The townspeople suggested that Franklin might want to thank them by donating a bell, and they would then build a steeple in their meeting house to house the bell. Franklin understood and appreciated the compliment, but he had slightly different ideas. He felt the townspeople should spare themselves the expense of a steeple. Would you have voted for a steeple, Judy? The expense?
No.
Okay. So they're on the same page. Spare themselves the expense of a steeple for the time being and thought they would be better served with a means to educate themselves through one of his favorite joys, reading. Dr. Franklin wrote to his good friend, the Reverend Richard Price in London, asking him to select a small group of books for the use of a society of intelligent, respectable farmers, using his now famous words in that letter, sense being preferable to sound. Reverend Price was a British moral philosopher, a nonconformist, a preacher, and a mathematician. He wrote volumes on morals, politics, and economics. He was an Englishman active in radical liberal causes and supported the American Revolution. In 1776, he published a little pamphlet titled Observations of the Nature of Civil Liberties, the Principles of Government, and the Justice and Policy of the New of the War with America. It just kind of rolls off your tongue. 60,000 copies were sold within days, and another 120,000 copies were printed and sold. He was very well known throughout all of England. In writing to Reverend Price, Dr. Franklin made two specific requests. He asked that Price include volumes of his own writings in the collection, as well as, at the request and suggestion of his sister, Benjamin Franklin's sister, that he please also include Stennett's sermons. He asked that, in addition, Price make a selection of books totaling a value of 25 British pounds. This morning, I did a quick calculation. 25 British pounds, 1778 to the dollar today, just under $500. So for Benjamin Franklin at the time to say, here's $500 to bestow upon this town. When the books arrived, they were put under the control of the church and its pastor, Dr. Nathaniel Emmons. Initially, the books were made available only to the members of the parish. For a while, the books were being stored in a bookcase in the barn of Dr. Emmons. So I'm thinking that they weren't concerned about preservation, there was no temperature control, they were in a barn, which is probably why we only have 91.
I think many have been stolen, personally.
Well, we'll look into that. Eventually, Emmons was directed to make the books available to all the townspeople, and thus the cornerstone of our present library collection was set. In checking the list of books received by the town, I found that the two requests made by Dr. Franklin in his letter to Price were fulfilled. Included in the collection are Price's Morals, one volume. Price on Providence, one volume. Price on Liberty, one volume. Price on Christian Scheme, one volume. And Price's Sermons. Also, there were two volumes of Stennett's sermons, as suggested by Jane. Now, here's a little side note on Jane. She was Franklin's younger sister by 6 years. They were two of 14 children in the Franklin family. They corresponded regularly and often. In Franklin's papers, there are more letters between Ben and Jane than any other individual he corresponded with. He respected and valued her opinion. It might, in fact, be Jane Franklin who is truly responsible for this collection here today. Did you know that?
I'm telling you, you just can't put those women down.
In one letter to her famous brother, upon hearing of the request of a bell for the town's meeting house, her response was, "They need a bell as much as a toad needs a tail." And one additional note, there was a young man born in this town in the late 1700s. I'm not going to have anybody guess because everybody knows. He had an insatiable thirst for knowledge. In his writings, he said his family had but few books, but that the town had a small library, and he is quoted as saying, "And though this library consisted of old histories and theologies suited perhaps to the taste of the conscript fathers of the town, but miserably adapted to the proscript children, yet I wasted my youthful ardor upon its martial pages and learned to glory in war with both reason and conscience. I have since taught me to consider almost universally a crime." I didn't read that right, but he first gloried in war and then decided it was a crime. We can imagine that he devoured as many of the books as time would allow. He felt the education of the mind was neglected and famously said, if he had the power, he would scatter libraries over the whole land as the farmer sows his wheat field. The young man, of course, was our very own Horace Mann, who was known as the father of modern American education. Thank you.
Okay, if we can get Scott Nolan on one side and Joe Mullen on the other side, and here is the moment you've all been waiting for. Just one has to pull, one has to push.
Joe?
Just slip. It's split, Scott. I'm pulling.
Refreshments are in Memorial Hall. If anybody wants a tour of the historic old library, Nancy Rapper is going to hold up one of her signs. Thank you all for coming. Does it plug in and light up?
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.